Hello there, and you're very welcome to the League of Ireland Lives podcast with myself, Jamie Moore. If you're watching, you're very welcome on YouTube. You can also listen in full in the audio-only version, which is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and more. And there's also some short clips on my social media channels, at Jamie Moore Sport on Twitter, and at Jamie Moore _ Moore 1 on Instagram. Coming up over the next hour or so, we're going to speak to men from all four First Division clubs involved in the playoff semi-finals this weekend. Both games kick off at 3 o'clock on Saturday at the Carlisle Grounds. It's Bray Wanderers against Galway United, and in the UCD Bowl, UCD hosting Longford Town. So it's been a fascinating last couple of hours, or last couple of days really, because we initially thought that the playoffs were going to see Bray, who finished second, play against Cabinteely, who finished fifth, and then UCD third against Longford fourth. That game was never going to be unchanged. But because Wexford went to arbitration due to the punishment they were given for fielding an ineligible player in four games earlier in the season, including one against Cabinteely. So Cabinteely actually had two extra points, which is how they ended up in fifth, because they lost to Drogheda on the last night. But Wexford won their arbitration case, which meant that they got their points back, which meant that Cabo lost their 2 points, meaning they went from 5th to actually 7th, Galway went from 6th to 5th, and Cove went from 7th to 6th, but Galway's goal difference just a little bit better, meaning that it's them who will actually face Bray. And of course, Galway actually beat Bray in the league only last Saturday, 1-0 at the Carlisle Ground. So Bray finished 2nd on 38 points. They, of course, had the chance to actually win the league on Tuesday night. They were top of the table at half-time. Eventually, they beat Longford, or they beat Athlone Town, by a goal to nil, but because Drogheda beat Cabinteely 2-0, Drogs are champions, so they go up and play in the Premier for next season. So Bray will play Cabinteely. Bray in second on 38 points. I should say Bray will play Galway, of course, not Cabinteely. I'm actually confusing myself here. So it's Bray on 38 who finished second. UCD were third on 30, and Longford were fourth on 29, so UCD against Longford at the Bowl. And then Galway on 27 points, their goal difference of +7. Cove also on 27 points, their goal difference of +2, which means Galway are in because their goal difference is 5 better. And Cabinteely actually finished 7th on 26 points with a goal difference of -11. So that's the story of the weekend in terms of the fixtures. So in a few minutes' time, we're going to preview the game between Longford Town and UCD at the UCD Bowl. We'll hear from the Longford Town goalkeeper, Lee Stacey, who is in great form and really looking forward to the game. An appearance from his dog, actually, in the video. Yo-Yo Maddie, the league's top scorer with 15, is the UCD player who'll join us. In a few minutes' time as well, Kevin Horgan, Galway United goalkeeper, an interview I just recorded a couple of minutes ago, and thanks to Kevin for jumping on so late in the day. But firstly, we'll start with the team that finished highest up in the league, and that's Bray Wanderers and John Ross Wilson. So the winners of the two games this weekend will face each other in the First Division playoff final on Friday night. And then the winner of that game will go on to play the team that finishes ninth in the League of Ireland Premier Division in a once-off playoff to be in the Premier for next season. All the games, all the playoffs this year over one leg, extra time and penalties if needed. It has been over home and away two legs in recent years, but because of COVID and the schedule, it's down to one. So winner take all in all the matches. In a few minutes' time, as I said, we'll preview UCD against Longford. But firstly, it's Bray against Galway. So the League of Ireland continues to entertain us, excite us, and sometimes amaze us, because breaking news on Thursday evening is that Bray Wanderers will now have a different playoff to the one they thought they were going to have on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Carlisle Grounds. They won't play against Cabinteely. They're now going to play against Galway United, because Wexford's appeal against them forfeiting four games 3-0 because they feel that an ineligible player has been... The appeal was won, so the initial ruling has been overturned by an arbitration panel. So it means that Cabinteely have lost 2 points. And Galway, they hadn't won a match when John Caulfield came in. They've now finished fifth in the table, and they'll face Bray at the Carlisle Grounds on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And I'm very happy to preview the game. Firstly, with the Bray camp, and joined by J.R. Wilson, the right back. J.R., how are you?
All good, Jamie. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thanks for jumping on. You're just home from training. No problem. So you were driving to training and you still weren't sure who you were going to play. The news came out just as you guys were arriving to train tonight. So a strange day for you guys as well.
Yeah, it was a stranger, to be fair. Obviously, like, we talked about playing Cabo on Friday, so we are preparing for that. And obviously, we got told on the way out, like, we're Galway. So obviously, different game, but looking forward to it. We coined the old one from last week, so it'll be interesting, you know, be good.
Yeah, the teams met last week in the Carlisle grounds. Galway won it 1-0 with almost the last kick of the game. And then their point against UCD meant that they actually were able to finish fifth. So you've played them quite recently. I don't want you to give away too many secrets, but I'm sure the coaching staff had to quickly change their training plan for tonight. I'm not sure if you're going to train tomorrow, given they were probably preparing the team for a match against Cabinteely, and then they had to quickly change to prepare to play Galway.
Yeah, obviously we're training tonight, and obviously last minute we got told, so like we obviously adapt to it, but like we played them twice already this year, so like we are unlucky down there. Like we create lots of chances, and we possibly should have won the game by a couple of goals, but obviously last week went different for us. But like we're gonna bounce back, and you have to go at them. You know, it's a one-off game. Like unlike previous years, it's all two legs, so gotta go for it. Like nothing to lose. Like so, yeah.
Yeah, like if we look at the last 10 days for you guys, you went into that match against Galway 2 points ahead at the top of the table. And after that game, because they got the last minute winner and Drogheda won their match, it meant that you went into the last night of the season on Saturday behind. And eventually Drogheda went on to win the league. They won their game against Cabinteely. You guys won your game against Athlone. So how would you look back on that last week and a definite missed opportunity to actually win the league?
Absolutely, Jamie. It was in our hands, to be fair. Like, look, it was just one of those. We are off against Galway. Like, it was flat, to be fair. We know that, and we know what we have to do now. Like, we have a playoff. We have an opportunity to go up. So, take each game as it comes and give 100%. I suppose, like, and just have to go at them from like start of the game and take it to them. Like, because as I said, like, we owe them one. So, we have to go for it, and that's hopefully turn up and get the result you want. You know.
Yeah, the feeling on Saturday at the end of the game, like there was just a real everyone lying down on their backs and knowing that the opportunity was probably gone. And then you had to lift yourselves for Tuesday night, knowing that if Drogheda dropped points and you won, you would have won the league. And at half time on Tuesday, Drogheda were drawing, you guys were winning thanks to that brilliant Ryan Graydon free kick. So you went in the lashing rain in Athlone at half time on top of the table. So what was that day like? I know you were stuck in terrible traffic as well, but like, throughout the whole game, were you being told and were you aware of what the score was in Stradbroke, and how soon after the final whistle did you realise that Drogheda had actually won the league?
Obviously, we had obviously just focused on the game we had, because obviously we had to get the 3 points ourselves, but we went 1-0 up at half-time and I wasn't really looking, like, just wanted to focus on the game, obviously, and whatever happened there, but one of the lads said it was 0-0 at half-time and I heard Cavill got a man sent off, so I was like, oh. One of those nights, but I looked over at one of the lads, like, last 10 minutes to go in our game. He was looking at the face and I was like, oh, it's not our night. But, like, look, as I said, it was in our hands and, like, we possibly didn't deserve to win it way after we performed against Galway. But, look, we've another chance to go again, I suppose. So, I'm looking forward to it now. Forget, like, the last game, so, you know.
Yeah, the weather looked so bad on Tuesday and the traffic on the way down and the rules for COVID mean that the players can't shower and all that type of stuff as well. So you literally had to, you know, lose the league, get soaked, get stuck in traffic and checkpoints, come back then to Dublin or Bray, get into your cars, drive home and prepare for another one. So just a real strange one.
Yeah, just one of those nights, Jay. Like, if only it was like, if Strasbourg was like that, like the game we played, first game of the season, it was mental. Like, but look, as I said, Jordan, fair play to them, they deserved it in the end, like, so good squad there, so congrats to them anyways, and hopefully to do well next year anyways, so but look, we want to join them, you know, like we've done well this year, obviously, like we've got a lot of clean sheets and obviously looks like, Shawsy great up front, like, you know, like good players, so like we just need to kick on now, like, and as I said, have a go now Saturday and please God come true, like, yeah
Saturday 3 o'clock, both games at the same time. And from your point of view, you need to obviously go and try and beat Galway. What do you make of them from the couple of times you've played in the season? I know Brian Maher, the goalkeeper, was very lucky not to give away a late penno in the away game. That was a draw in Eamon DC Park. Yeah. And then they get the last minute winner last week. And they've improved so much since John Caulfield's come in. Like, they're the form team in the league, really. And nobody would have thought, I interviewed John on the day he got the job, and nobody would have thought they would have got to where they got to. I know this arbitration thing has happened, which just about gets them in. But what's the thoughts on them and playing one of the most informed teams in the league on Saturday?
Look, obviously, as I said, as John came in, like, they're flying, really. Like, they work so hard. Like, they never give up, as I say. Like, they're in their face all the time. Typical like Caulfield team, as you say, like, but look, we fancy our chances because, as I said, we went down there, created so many chances. Like, even last week against me, like, we created chances. Like, we had enough to win the game, I suppose, like, but it's suppose it's good. It's going to be a good game because both teams are, as I said, in good form now, like, so we're going to go up. We know each other now, like, obviously, played the show last week, so it's going to be good, like, entertaining game, I hope, anyways. Hopefully, it goes in our favour, like, but I'm looking forward to coming against them, you know.
Yeah, I spoke to Lee Stacey from Longford earlier on today and also Yo-Yo Matty from UCD, and we were just talking about the playoffs being one legs as opposed to home and away stuff, and the difference that might make to games, because obviously it's win or bust. Is that something you guys have thought about and spoken about yet? And for you, hopefully you'll start the game, I'm sure you will, on Saturday. How will that change approach and stuff when the game is actually on?
Yeah, look, obviously in previous years it's been over two legs. Like, it's obviously first leg if you lose, say, look, you give another chance at it. But like, it's obviously it's over one game now, so both teams have to go at it, like, I suppose, and have a go at each other. But look, we stick to the game plan that we have, and confident that we'll come out on top. Like, as I said, need to take the game to them, like, this time, like, and play Chuck Day football, like, and have a go at them. Like, we identified some things we need to do, and we have good ideas going into the game on Saturday, so confident enough now, like, to be honest with you. Especially after we got a win there Tuesday, so like, looking good, like, trying to go tonight, so.
Yeah, I'm going to do a Twitter poll when the season's finished to pick my first division team of the year, because I was going to pick it myself, and then I realised that it would be better to let Twitter do it, because I've seen a good bit of Bray for whatever reason, and haven't seen maybe as much of other teams. So I'm going to have like four goalkeepers in the poll, four right backs, four left backs and so on. But definitely, I think it'll be yourself and Jimmy Brown from Drogheda will be the two who'll get the most votes and competing for that spot. He scored a really good goal on Tuesday night to help his team win the league. Yourself, it's your first year with Bray. You got promoted last year with Shelburne, but I know you picked up a bad injury and didn't get to feature towards the end of the season. So you must be quite happy with being a starting right back with Bray. I think you've started every game, and I've certainly been quite impressed with how you've played. So how would you reflect on your own season and having come through the Bowes 19s and, you know, a little bit of time at Shells? It's important for you to be getting games each week, and you've done that in a team that's been fighting for the league every week.
Yeah, look, Jay, to be honest, obviously from last year, it was disappointing. Like, obviously got a bad injury. I played the first couple of games, got a bad injury, and it was just one of those, like, first injury in football, and it wasn't the best injury to get, by the way. It was just a nightmare, like, didn't seem to heal, and then, like, obviously, guys gave me a call in the off-season, and I was delighted to come play from, like, he gave me the opportunity to come play games week in, week out, like, and be thankful for that, like, you know, and, like, I think I had a good season, to be fair with you, Jay. Happy enough, like, being consistent, I think, like, so, playing with good players as well, like, so, happy enough how it went, like, and I want to get promoted now, that's playing Premier next year, so, please God, like, have a good go at it, like, you know.
Yeah, there's a real interesting mix in the Bray squad, and there's a number of players like yourself who, you know, you played for one of the top under 19 teams in the country, and for whatever reason, the breakthrough at that team, at that club, at the first team didn't happen, and you went elsewhere, and, you know, you can look at so many other players in the group who were like that. Brian Maher's been so good in goal, and then you've got, you know, younger people like Callum Thompson, who's come home from the UK, Sean McAvoy, who's come down from up north, to name a couple of the younger players in the group, and then you've got the likes of, you know, Killian Cantwell, Aaron Barry, Paul Keegan, Gary Shaw and others, and there just seems to be a real good mix in the squad and playing well most weeks, and seems to be an enjoyable group to be involved in.
Yeah, as I said, like, there's a good experience obviously of Shawsy and Aaron Barry Keegan's being around it, like, and then obviously the youth, we have Grado, Callum, all them sort of lads like that, so it's a good mix, you know, like the likes of Keegan and all, like, They've been around it, like, especially playoffs and D1 leagues and that. So, like, they're going to be a big hand in the upcoming games, hopefully, and drive us on, I suppose, like, you know.
Yeah, the best defence in the league this season. I'm just pulling up the table here just to confirm the conceded goals. I know it's 10 clean sheets in 18 games. Bam, 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 bam. 13 goals conceded. And the back four, really consistent. Every week that you come to watch, Bray, you're right back. You've got Aaron Barry and Killian Cantwell in general, centre-back, Dylan Barnett left-back, and Brian Maher in goal. I think Killian possibly could be suspended for Saturday, so possibly a change there. But that consistency of that back five, it's spoken about a lot in football, about, you know, having those relationships with, you know, you, for example, beside your right side of centre-back and the goalkeeper and so on. How has that helped, and how have you enjoyed being involved in what is the best defence in the league?
Yeah, it's great, to be honest with you. Like, I love defending. Like, I just love it. Like, a clean sheet and that, you know, like, it's great. Like, young Brian behind us, like, it's been unbelievable this year. Like, just can't believe the age of him. Like, he demands his box so well. His distribution is brilliant for me. Like, he's one of the best keepers out there for me at the moment. Like, as I'm saying, like, right. And then you have killers, Aaron, Dylan, like, good players, you know, good footballers. They've been around as well. Like, so they know, like, they're solid every week. It's good, like, clean sheets, and obviously the lads good going forward as well, like, set pieces. And Dylan obviously wanted the left foot, to be fair to him, like, so it's good, like, good playing with them boys, you know.
The games on Saturday, they're going to be really, really exciting. I was hoping they'd be at different times so I could be at both and be able to cover both, but they're both going to be at 3 o'clock. And
3 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, there'll just be a sense, I'm sure, among everybody, you know, it definitely will feel different to a normal league game. And you know that if you lose, it's season done and promotion hopes over. If you win, you're into a final, and then you've got another final against the Premier team if you happen to win that one. So how will you be feeling on Saturday morning? And, like, is it nervousness? Is it excitement? And, you know, a 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff is probably quite uncommon in the league. So you'll just be thinking, I'm sure, across the rest of the week and Saturday about the big kickoff on Saturday at 3.
I'm buzzing for it, to be honest. Like I said, we played 19s, like, you played 3 o'clock on a Saturday, so, like, it was used to be fair. Like, obviously, Longford UCD be good game. Like, you're only playing 3 games, obviously, like, if you get through, like, and you only get to that final stage, like, that's where we want to get, like, you know. And Saturday, like, especially tomorrow, just take it easy and prepare as you would for a Friday evening game, you know, like, and Saturday morning, just chill out and get ready to go. Yeah, can't wait now. Yeah.
Lastly, the podcast is called League of Ireland Lives, and away from your football life, you're working full time as a postman, which is a very interesting profession. And before we go any further, I have to play a little clip from one of your pals, Lee Stacey, who's the Longford goalkeeper, who is an on-post colleague. I'm not sure if he's actually worked together, but
he's in Crumlin.
Okay, so Lee decided to come for you, really, on the Longford edition of the podcast this morning. So for those who didn't see it, let's just take a quick look to see what Lee Stacey had to say. God, I'll be talking to John Ross Wilson from Bray later on to preview the second semi-final. And he's also a postman. So two out of four. Half my guests this week are postmen.
Well, I don't know about John Ross being a postman, because I actually collect from the postboxes beside his house. And every time I drive by, there's a postman in the garden. I've never seen him do a bit of work, so I don't know what he's going to be doing. Okay, I send him pictures every day. I says, will you move that van? He won't move it. I don't know what he's doing.
He goes on foot or on a bike or something, probably.
he has a van, but I tell you what, he doesn't use it.
Hopefully the boss isn't listening here now.
Hopefully I get him in trouble. He's missing the weekend because he's a great player.
Well, I tell you what, hopefully it's a Bray against Longford final and we can put you both on the podcast to have a verbal row about who's the better postman.
Post off.
So, John Ross Wilson, your reply to that, sir?
you know, you say so much things, Jay, but Stacey's some man. You have to sort that burn and that beard out this year, by the way. He's struggling there. He knows that as well, he does. But I know. He's always a bit of banter, to be fair. Like, a great lad and top keeper, to be fair. Like, so, great fella, like, you know.
And is his accusations of your post van being in your driveway when you're meant to be at work and actually true, or is he just winding you up?
In case me manager's watching, I'll say it's not true, yeah.
Well, you're up at, like, what, 4 a.m, 5 a.m to go and do your day's work?
Up at 5, in for 6, like, but to be honest, I love it, like, getting up that time and obviously home in a reasonable time, you know, to chill out before training. And do whatever you do then in between, you know. So it's good, like, it's great, like, for me, and it's, like, good balance between work and football, like, and so it's good, yeah.
Are you 21 or 22?
I got 22 this December, Jay.
Okay. It's like a lot of people in the First Division and some in the Premier combine, like, a job and work, and how do you find that? And I know you get home possibly in the afternoon to have a nap, but Like, for example, I think after the Athlone game on Tuesday night, you were up at in the middle of the night to go to work on Wednesday morning, for example. And, you know, some people like a job as a like a mental change from the stresses of football. And if you were a full-time footballer, maybe there's a bit of time in the day where you've not much to do. But how do you handle that and maybe sleep and rest, but also like meal prep and just making sure that you're on your game for your day job and also on your game for your football job?
Yeah, like you said, like we got home. I got home just after 12 o'clock Tuesday. Got up after the 5. Like got 5 hours sleep. Like and went in, did the work, and came back for a nap. Then after work, so like in terms of that, it's grand. Like you can home and rest before training. Obviously, your field prep. You got to do it the night before. So yeah, like you've got days planned and stuff like that. You know, so like it's grand. But like I think you have to be more professional. I think like if you have a job, like to look after yourself more. Sort like, but I like being like, say, busy like in the morning, and the afternoon, and keep your mind away from football until you get there. Another sort of way, like so. It's
good. Yeah,
it's good balance. Yeah.
And I'm sure when you get home in the afternoons, your brother Tariq, who of course plays for Waterford, has the lunch ready for you and the cup of tea. I think is he commute or is he living in Waterford?
He's living in Waterford. Yeah,
okay, so he definitely won't have the lunch ready for you. So yeah. if he's in Waterford, you're in Dublin.
No chance. He doesn't have to cook that lad.
Would he have it ready for you if he did live in Dublin, or would he still be asleep himself?
No chance. Oh, he's asleep like that lad. He's always asleep. Oh, he's so mad. But now, like he's had a great season to be fair to him as well. Like he's hopefully now like finishes strong and gets European football there. See what happens then for him. But he's had a great season to be fair to him. Yeah, good left peg.
Yeah, well, hopefully some League of Ireland manager fancies having a Wilson at right back and a Wilson at left back in the Premier League next season, which would be a very interesting one, I'm sure, for you guys and your family to be watching on. We might do a podcast later on in the summer with the two of you, but like growing up, and I know he was in the UK for a little bit as well, like, but I love stories of like footballing brothers and maybe the games that you guys would have played in the garden, in the park, in school, the fights you probably had, the kicks you gave each other, which just helped you both become proper little competitors. Like,
To be fair, like I knew like younger he was gonna go away, like because we used to play in the green and used to fly into each other. But he always like from younger age he had that winning mentality, like which took him a long way. Like he's got that good experience in the UK. As you said, like he's a big future in the game for me. To be fair, like it's. This left foot's unbelievable, like you're just saying this year. Free kicks, assists, like crossing is good defender as well, like so. I know delighted for his first season home, like because it's different obviously from playing under 23s over there, like different men's football, like and I thought he's adapted. It took a slow start, but he's adapted really well, like and he's flying form now. So wouldn't be surprised if like there's a couple of teams in front to be fair, like, you know.
So have you played against him at like senior level, underage level ever?
Funny enough, actually, we played just after the lockdown, Joe. We played a friendly against him.
Okay.
In Bray.
And were you right back? Was he left back for the other team?
Yeah.
Any duels? Any little contacts?
He's gone for me, but he couldn't catch me in the usual track, you know.
That's interesting, though. Yeah, that's interesting.
He's difficult. He's very difficult to get by. To be fair, like he's a top defender, like. But tried to get him one, but he just started laughing at me. You know, he's like he's just.
We'll have to give him the right of reply on an upcoming podcast, because I'm sure he would say that he's definitely better than you and quicker than you. And when he was a kid, he was, even though he's a couple of years younger than you, he was the one. He was like the king of the games. Like,
to be fair, there's only a year in between us, like, so there's not that much, like, but like as I said, we used to be in the field absolutely smashing each other. That's why we're two was like that in the pitch now. Like, it was love of tackles.
Absolutely.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Great stuff. Well, I'm sure he'll be cheering you on Saturday, wherever he's going to be watching, because Waterford aren't in action, I don't think.
No, they? I think they just play Finn Harps, isn't it? I think that's the last game.
Yeah, last game, yeah. Because the Premier has so many games called off, it's hard to keep track and stuff. So,
yeah
I'm sure he'll be watching it and cheering you on. JR, the best of luck on Saturday. Thanks a million for coming on. Really enjoyed having
Cheers,
a chat.
Jay, pleasure,
and we'll speak to you soon. Good luck.
All the best, Jay. Take care. Cheers.
To go to Galway to a man by the name of Kevin Horgan, who probably wasn't expecting to be on a podcast previewing a playoff semi-final a couple of days ago. But given the news that Cabinteely have lost a couple of points because Wexford won their appeal, that means that Galway have gone from a place outside the playoffs to fifth on goal difference with Cove, and they'll play away to Bray on Saturday, tomorrow at the Carlow grounds at 3 o'clock. Kev, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great now. Looking forward to the playoffs. Like you say, we weren't 100% sure if we were going to get in or not. We thought there was a good chance, but we obviously knew that it was going to be difficult and it wasn't in our hands. So we're just delighted now that we get the chance to be in the playoffs.
So talk me through from your game at home to UCD on Tuesday night when your captain Shane Duggan scores that unbelievable late equaliser to get a draw, through to being on the way to training last night on Thursday and finding out just there and then that Abbentead had lost those points and you were in.
Yeah, well, obviously after the game, we were disappointed that we weren't automatically in it and, you know, it was out of our hands now. But we spoke afterwards and we said, you know, there is a chance we'll be in Thursday in case. And so on our way up, yeah, we were lucky to find out that we were in. We were all obviously buzzing, just ready to get going now and keep our, you know, good form going, hopefully going into the game against Bray.
Yeah, it's a very quick time frame for you guys to prepare with only one real session. And the same for Bray. I spoke to John Ross Wilson last night and they were about to train to prepare to play Cabinteed and then had to very quickly change their plan to play against Galway. And I'm sure it was the same for you guys in terms of only having one night's training, maybe two, to get ready for Saturday.
Yeah, well, you know, this late in the season now, we've had a lot of games in quick succession, so it's more about just getting together as a group and, you know, making sure we're all ready for the game. People have to see physio, you know, get a bit of shape done and get ourselves ready. So it's nothing really unusual for us to only have a session or two before a match, because even in the last week we had three games in, you know, in eight days or something like that. So it's, you know, it's nothing unusual. It's what we like doing. We love playing matches, so it suits us down to the ground.
Yeah, how's the mood in the camp? I'm sure it's a massive boost for everybody, given you thought your season was finished and now it's not.
Yeah, the mood has been great in the camp anyways. You know, we've been on a great run of form, really, and we've doing well since, you know, the last 10 games. So everyone's buzzing and ready to just, we're all delighted we can keep playing. You know, it's definitely nice to have the season extended.
Yeah, and of course, you've only played Bray very recently in the league. That 92nd minute winner in your second last league game on Saturday of, that's just last Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, just Saturday
gone.
Yeah,
that's how quick things have moved. And Jack Watson had that chance for Bray to win it. You saved it. Your team ended up the pitch then, grabbed the winner, and that then led to you getting the point against UCD and ending up in the playoffs. So your last meeting at the Carlisle Grounds at the same time on the same day last weekend was fairly dramatic.
Yeah, that was a dramatic game. I think both teams, we both knew we needed a win. We were, you know, they had chances and we had a couple of chances too. So we all were kind of, we were both going for it and we had to get a win. I know we'll both need a win the next day, but it'll probably be a lot different of a game. It'll be hard to draw on much of the experience from that game. You know, two games left. We're thinking a lot of different things. This game now, it's knockout football from here on in. So it's a probably different attitude going into the game. But I know they're going to be coming flying into it and we're hoping to be flying coming into it too.
Yeah, it's really interesting because that just felt like such a big moment and the scenes from your bench and your players when the winner was scored and the final whistle was blown in comparison to the Bray players being so deflated. And if we carried it on a few more days, then Bray have a chance to win the league on Tuesday night at halftime. They were going to go up a full-time draw that had won the league. So they're on a bit of a low. You guys are on a bit of a high. So it'd be very interesting come 3 o'clock tomorrow, just what the moods are like in both squads, given the last week that you've both had.
Yeah, well, as well as that, though, Bray are a quality side. And I think they're used to having to turn around quickly and they'll be well up for this game. I don't think they'll really be on too much of a low. They've had a brilliant season. You know, they were unlucky to lose it right to the last game of the season. But, you know, they've been on great form. So it's not as simple as they'll be on a low and we'll be on a high. I think they're going to be coming into it bouncing as well.
Yeah, and I suppose the fact that you have played them just a week ago, I spoke about the short turnaround time for both to prepare, given the fixture was only confirmed yesterday. But given the match was only a week ago, there'll be probably not too many surprises on either side.
Yeah, look, that's the beauty of the League of Ireland. Everyone kind of knows everyone in the league. So we'll know a lot about them, and I'm sure they'll know a lot about us too. The league is small, and you know everyone plays against everyone, and a lot of people have played with each other. So, you know, it's nothing new.
Yeah, speaking of fantastic results, Kevin, when I spoke to your manager, John Caulfield, who at the time was your new manager, just appointed, Galway hadn't won a match. And he was talking about, you know, wanting to get the team competitive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't even think anybody really thought the run of results that have come would come so quickly and it would end up in the playoffs. sum up for me the last few weeks and months under John, and just the ultimate turnaround in form has just been unbelievable, really.
Yeah, look, it's been great. The last 10 games, we think we've picked up 22 points, you know, which is unbelievable, really. I think that form, if we had it the whole way through the year, we might have won the league. But at the end of the day, we started winning games, and winning breeds more winning, and we felt confident then going into every game. So I think obviously John came in and we got a real great bounce out of him. Everyone's been really buzzing in training. Training's been great. And just like that, once you start winning one or two games, you kind of feel like you can't be stopped. So I think that was a big thing, the confidence, because I think even before, we were unlucky in a lot of games. We could have nicked goals, or we, you know, made a silly mistake or something to lose a game or to draw a match. But the difference is that once we started winning the game, it just, you know, snowballed.
Yeah. What has he done and said to change the confidence and the mood in the group? Because if you were to look at the league table on the day he took over and now, it's so different. And you can say maybe unlucky in some of the previous games, but to get that 22 points from those 10 games and be the informed team in the league is a massive turnaround.
Yeah, well, he's filling lads with confidence. I think everyone is going into games buzzing. The training's been really good. Look, John's a brilliant manager. He's, you know, managed at a really high level and done brilliant things when he was with Cork City. So when he came in, everyone was, you know, ready to go. And it was just one of those things that once it started to go well, it went really well. I think we've got three 93rd minute winners, or one 99th minute winner actually as well. So, you know, it just started to go well, and we started to feel that we were going to really keep winning matches.
Yeah, and he's a winner, of course. He's won so much for Cork City, and I'm sure, you know, he made no secret of the fact, speaking to you guys in private, that he's at Galway United to do things. He's at Galway United to win and to improve. And it's nice when you hear that from a top manager, that he's coming in to speak to you guys for the first time saying, I'm here to win, lads. Are you with me?
Yeah, 100%. He's absolutely a winner. His CV speaks for that. But, you know, that is a great thing to hear. It's obviously something we thought at the start of the season that we'd be in and around the playoffs anyways. So after the first 9 or 8 games, we weren't there. We were obviously very disappointed, but just maybe the change might have come at a good time. And just to help us on our way to start winning matches again. And obviously John, he really is, you know, drives us on and fills us with confidence every game.
Has there been much of a change in terms of, like, the week's training? I heard possibly there might have been an extra night added. Now, I know there's been lots of games in the last few weeks, but has John and the staff, I know he brought in Liam Kearney and he's kept the likes of Johnny Glynn around and others, but has there been much of a change in terms of the environment that you guys are involved in now than before John was in charge?
A little bit, not a massive change. He has in one of the mornings for some of the lads who are able to get off work, but mostly it's pretty similar in a wise. Does a lot of the things of what you just expect a manager to do and a club at a top level to do. You know, it's really professional and everyone is buying into it and really feeling like we're in a good place.
Is your goalkeeping coach the same as it was before John came in, or did he change that?
Same goalkeeper coach, yeah, Luke. I've had him for since last season as well, so I think he's a really, really great goalkeeper coach. I get on great with him and really love working with him every day. Yeah,
it's nice because, you know, a lot of time when a manager comes in, he might bring in his own assistant and his own coach, but in general, the goalkeeping coach and the physio and the kit man and the other support staff tend to stay the same. So that relationship that you've had with Luca, your goalkeeping coach, is still there and still strong, which I'm sure for you, people often speak about, you know, the closeness that a goalkeeper has to his goalkeeping coach. And it's so intimate almost that it makes a big difference to you maybe to keep him on board.
Yeah, I was delighted. I spoke to Luca when the change was happening, and he wasn't 100% sure. He was waiting to hear kind of what was going to happen. And once he found out, he told me straight away. So I was buzzing. I really wanted Luca to stay on. He's been brilliant. He's really kind of helped me, you know, to develop. And I'm lucky now to be playing a lot of matches. And Luca's been, you know, helped me out a lot. And I'm getting on great with him and even with the other keepers in the club as well. It's been good.
Yeah, at the start of the season and even in season, in terms of the goalkeepers at the club, you could probably never pinpoint that goalkeeper is definitely the number one. That has been you in recent weeks. But if you look at, you know, the likes of Matthew Connor, Michal Schlingerman, etc., the competition for that spot at Galway this season has been really, really strong. And I'm sure you're delighted to be the one holding the jersey at the moment heading into tomorrow.
Yeah, well, hopefully I can keep holding it until tomorrow. We'll see. But yeah, the competition has been brilliant. And to work with Michal and Matt, like, they're two great guys. Enjoy working with them. And they're two brilliant goalkeepers as well. So, you know, it's been good to have the competition. But, you know, the three of us are pushing each other. Or I know Matt has gone now, but when he was here, the three of us were pushing each other. And now Slings is back full fit. So it's... yeah, definitely good to have the competition and good to be working with nice guys too.
On the season overall, Kev, and probably the game last week against Bray is a really good example with the whole rules around the dressing rooms and the buses. And, you know, what Bray have done is they've opened up one of the big club offices. It's like an old style, like a school porta cabin to allow enough space. And Bray are using both the home and away dressing rooms. I was up in Finn Harps the other night doing a commentary, and they built via GoFundMe a new home area so the away team can have space. How have you found all of the stuff around COVID and the travel and having to get changed in a different type of environment, not being able to shower, all those simple bits that we probably forget are actually involved now in getting these matches played?
Yeah, to be honest, it doesn't bother me too much. Once we get to play the matches, that's what I'm happy about. You know, it's been great that we've been lucky enough to be, you know, seen as the elite sports that are allowed to continue. That's definitely been a big plus. I know it's not ideal to be changing in different places and, you know, having to go to the toilet even in someone else's dressing room or something like that. You know, it's things you wouldn't think of. But once you're out from the warm and the game kicks off, that's it. Like, you don't worry about anything. I think everyone is the same. It doesn't really matter what happens before once you're okay and right to play the match, you know.
Yeah, I asked this question to Lee Stacey of Longford yesterday about the lack of crowds and the plus point possibly for goalkeepers in that every word that you want your teammates to hear or the referee to hear or your manager to hear, etc., can be heard because of the lack of crowds. Is that something, I'm sure, for example, if there was a crowd at this, there might be a couple of thousand, and if you're screaming at someone a bit of information, it might not be as clear as it is, if that is one positive to take from the lack of crowds at the moment?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, geez, it'd be great to have the crowds at these matches, you know. We have a great support when it's going well. Like the last couple of weeks, I reckon we would have had a good couple of thousand at the matches, 3,000 or 4,000, they reckon. So
yeah,
it would be brilliant to have them there. And it does make a big difference, you know, in a big game like on last Tuesday and the game Saturday coming up, to have the crowd there would have been unreal. You know, that's another thing that you like to be when you're playing as a footballer. It's great to play in front of a big crowd in a nice atmosphere. And the Galway crowd is unreal. They really are very good. So yeah, we definitely are missing them, I think. You know, it does make a big difference.
Yeah, I think John Caulfield's Galway would have certainly dragged in thousands of people to Eamon DC Park and on the away games if that was allowed to. So we touch wood that next year that can be the case. Although the fans aren't there, all the clubs I know are doing their best to stream games in the First Division, and with the Watch LOI in the Premier and you know, lots of great stuff on social media. So I'm sure you guys still feel the connection to the Galway fans and the support of them, even though they can't actually be there physically with you to cheer you on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was 12,000 watched the game against UCD the last day. So that kind of shows the interest in Galway. You know, Galway is a one club city. People are really interested in how Galway United do and what happens around the club. So I think definitely the way that we were going well, we would have had big crowds. But of course, when we see people are tuning in and we, you know, when you're walking through the street and someone says something to you, it does feel like you're still connected to the city, definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate you have to play a semi-final against Bray tomorrow. And if you win that, it's then a final against the winners of UCD and Longford, and then if you win that, it's a game against the team ninth in the Premier, so there's a few matches to go. But is there a real feeling in Galway that you guys can go all the way and jump into the Premier Division?
Look, we're in it now, so it's anyone's game in my opinion, but we just have to focus on Bray. That's going to be a really tough game. They've had a brilliant season and they've got brilliant players, like, so we need to just worry about that game first and we'll see what comes after that, but really just have to be focused on Bray. Yeah, 100%.
Lastly, Kev, the podcast is called League of Ireland Lives, and I'm always interested to hear about the League of Ireland player away from being a League of Ireland player. What do you do when you're not training and playing for Galway?
Well, I work. I work in a local shop in the office, and I've just moved out with my girlfriend. So she moved down from Kildare during COVID. So she's living here now. She had her graduation today, so we got dressed up, even though we couldn't go anywhere. But So as well as that, we just kind of nothing really we can do other than that, really. Just we're working away, the two of us, and luckily we're able to go out training. That's the big plus, because we're stuck at home the rest of the time.
And here's me thinking you got dressed up just for the podcast.
No, I actually got dressed down for the podcast. I didn't know suit on
earlier. I was wondering if you were just going for the jumper or if the suit was on. That would have been a very professional podcast appearance.
That's what I thought.
Great stuff. That is the voice of Kevin Horgan, Galway goalkeeper, who's going to be ready for action tomorrow. Kevin, appreciate you jumping on really late today before the game as well. We had planned to speak to someone from Cabin Teely and we had to change our plan. So thanks yourself for jumping on. Good luck tomorrow and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Jamie. Great to chat to you.
So great stuff there from Kevin Horgan of Galway United and J.R. Wilson of Bray Wanderers. Best of luck to both of those at 3 o'clock at the Carlisle Grounds on Saturday. At the same time, at the UCD Bowl, it's going to be UCD against Longford Town. We'll check in with the away team and Longford's Lee Stacey in just a second. But firstly, to home side, UCD striker Yo-Yo Maddy.
Huge weekend ahead in the SSE Artricity League First Division as we reach the relegation promotion playoff semi-final stage. And the first game confirmed for 3 o'clock. Afternoon is third against fourth, so UCD against Longford Town at the UCD Bowl. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to be joined by the Longford Town goalkeeper, Lee Stacey. But first, the man who'll be hoping to score past him on Saturday, it's UCD striker Yo-Yo Maddy. Yo, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Jamie. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I should say the league top scorer as well with 15 goals, although your teammate Colin Whelan is one behind on 14. So you're racing your UCD friend for the golden boot.
Yeah, there's some good competition here.
Yeah, I don't know. Does the Golden Boot finish after the league matches or does it carry into the playoffs? Like, are you officially the league's top scorer or how does that work if someone wants to score six goals in the playoffs? Like,
I don't know. I haven't been told anything, actually, but I'm just assuming that it's the league anyway and then it's kind of clean slate for the playoffs. So hopefully another Golden Boot.
So I'm actually talking to the Golden Boot winner now. Well, that's nice. You're probably right, though, because if someone who didn't make the playoffs had scored, say, whatever goals it might be, and then you score, it might be unfair because you've got extra games. So anyway, we'll clarify that one. Overall, personally, you must be really happy with your own form. Your team are the top scorers in the league. Yourself and Colin between you have 29 goals, which is a really impressive stat. And I've seen a lot of your games this season. Really exciting, usual UCD pass and football and creating lots of chances for you lads up front.
Yeah, we didn't really start the season off too well, but after lockdown, we kind of hit a good run of games, had some good results, and yeah, we've just been playing really well at the moment, and there's some few bad results here and there, but we're learning from them, and I think our game against Galway showed a lot of maturity from us, being 1-0 down at half-time and not giving up, and you know, bringing it back to 2-1, although we conceded in the last minute, but it was still a good performance from us, and I think that we're maturing a lot this season.
Yeah, all five of the games at the weekend were streamed. I saw the goals from your match, but I was at another game, so I didn't actually see the full game. What was it like? And of course, every game had something on it in terms of teams trying to win the league, Drogheda and Bray, and then five of the other teams could have actually made the playoffs, including yourselves and Galway. So I'm sure it was an interesting one to be involved in.
Yeah, we knew all the pressure was really on Galway, so we kind of just played our own game. There was no real pressure on us, and they went 1-0 up just before half-time, but we went in at half-time. We weren't panicking. We knew we were still in the game, and it was just about staying in the game for as long as possible, and we knew we'd get the chances, and thankfully, Evan Weir popped up with two great goals. So,
yeah, if people haven't seen Evan Weir's goals, go and find them. They're on the UCD social media. I'm sure if you just type his name into to search in Twitter or Instagram, you'll find them. Two cracking goals as well. And if we look at the season overall, like, I've loved being able to be at games and being able to do the podcast. So it's very disappointing that supporters can't have been at them. How have you found the race and just being involved in such a short season and a season that literally went to the final day for almost all the teams in the league?
Well, we knew at the start of the season was more of this is a long season. We're going to take each game as it comes and try to win every game. But after lockdown, it was more of a sprint mentality. So we knew that every game was important. And at the time, Cabo were top of the league and they were unbeaten, and we just knew that if we went on a run of games that we could catch up with anyone. And it was a bit disappointing not to be in the title race at the end, but we're still happy with our playoff spot at the moment.
Yeah, and from your own point of view, having been at the club now for a few years and involved in the Premier Division season last year, which ultimately ended in relegation back to the First Division, since then Andy Myler has come in as manager and you know, some of the younger players in the group, maybe who wouldn't be senior players like yourself, have really stepped up this season. And then the senior ones like yourself and Jack Keane, Josh Collins, to name just a couple, Evan Ozam as well. There seems to be a real good mix in the squad, and that's led to some really good performances.
Yeah, I'd say the most disappointing thing about last year was that if we were to go goal down or a goal up, we still didn't. If we went a goal up, we wouldn't feel like we were going to win the game. And then this year, we're trying to be more clinical, putting teams away. And I think the mix of experience, like myself and the lads that you named, we're helping out the younger lads. Gelling together now, we know that we're playing for each other. And yeah, we just don't want to be losing games anymore. We're a winning team, and that's the way we're hoping to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because every player says that they want to play at the top level, and the top level in the country here is the Premier Division. But if you're towards the bottom and you're losing games most weeks and you've not got much of the ball and the mood in the camp is negative because you're losing games, if you flip that to 12 months on and you're getting ready for the playoffs and you're up towards the top of the table and you're competing to win something and to get back to the Premier, I find that an interesting comparison, particularly for younger players. Like, is it better to be in the top league and towards the bottom, or in the first competing in games, in big games, and going to try to win things?
That's, I don't know, it's a bit of a, there's the best of both worlds, you know, because in the top division, you're playing against the best players and you're challenging yourself and you're seeing how you fare up against them. And when we're back in the first division, we knew that we were able to put it up to a lot of those teams. And I think we're using that experience to our advantage this year. And I think that's why we're going out getting some good results and some pretty impressive wins as well.
Yeah, the system as well. We did a live stream of the Cabinteely game a couple of weeks ago, and the three at the back has worked very well. But yourself, as the striker in the team, or one of the strikers in the team, certainly, I really noticed you're, I'm not sure if you're being instructed to do it or if you just do it, but you're starting up front and you end up in that number 10 space, and the opposition centre-backs are probably not wanting to go in after you, and you're picking up really good positions to turn and almost play from deep, and then you've got people running beyond you, yet you've also been in the box to score 15 times. So I've been really interested to see your own role this season in the team. How would you describe it?
I'm definitely playing up front as a striker anyway, but it's just about trying to cause problems, ask questions. Sometimes you can stay up the whole game and things will happen for you, but if, I don't know, sometimes if I'm getting frustrated or not getting the ball, I like to drop deep and get on it and see if a defender's going to follow me, see if someone else can run in behind. But without revealing too much, I'm just kind of trying to get on the ball as much as I can and cause problems.
Yeah, certainly not looking for any magic advice for your opposition, Longford, on yeah. Saturday, because I'm sure they'll be watching this. But I mean, you've played them a couple of times. It's a small league. A lot of the games have been streamed recently, so I'm sure they're fully aware of what to expect and vice versa. But that role for you, it just seems to be working really well. And not too many teams in the league are playing with two strikers. UCD are, and you know, you can talk about variations and you dropping in, but at different times as well, yourself and Colin Whelan are two strikers together. And you've, as I said, scored lots of goals. How much are you enjoying that partnership? And I'm sure everybody in UCD is very confident with you two in the team that you can continue to get goals.
Yeah, well, actually, this is my first season ever playing in a two up top since I was about under 10s or under 11s. It's always been 4-3-3 going up the whole way and one striker. And it's like we're kind of sharing the workload and sharing the goals, even because we have 29 between us, only one goal in it between us. But yeah, we're having a really good partnership and we're linking up really well. We're assisting each other. And I think the boys trust us at the back that we'll get the goals.
Yeah. Is that a healthy little conversation between the two of you as well?
Yeah, no, very healthy.
But if you're in the box and you're not in the right position to score, you'll happily pass to him and the other way around, which is nice because it's I suppose the cliche in football is it doesn't really matter who scores once the team scores, and you guys have both proved that a lot.
Yeah, it's, you can even tell, like, even if he scores or I score, we're first to each other in the celebrations. It's not, there's no like hatred or jealousy between us. We're trying to do the best for the team. And if I think that he's in a better position to score, I'll pass to him. And I think the same for him.
So talk to me, Yo, about Longford. They had a quite disappointing last night of the season, losing to Wexford. I think given where they were in the table and where you guys were and the points you had and also the goal difference, it was unlikely that, you know, you were both going to lose out. You both got through. You guys have home advantage. You're obviously a decent team as well. So You played them twice. What do you make of them and the challenge that awaits on Saturday?
We know that they're a really good side, and they beat us once and we drew 0-0 with them at home. And we know that they'll fight till the end. We know that they'll run around, they'll press us, and we're going to give them the respect that they deserve. But at the same time, we're fully confident that we can do the business on Saturday, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, the playoffs in recent years have always been over two legs, but this year it's different because of COVID. So it's a once-off, and you don't have the luxury of a second leg if it's needed, for example. Does that change the way the game will be, the way you'll approach it?
I think without it being intentional, I think it'll be quite cagey at the start of the game anyway, and then it'll take a while for it to open up. But it's more about staying in the game for as long as we can, because we know that it's one leg and there's a lot on the line. And if we can do that, then I think we can nick it at the end, maybe even win it comfortably, who knows. But we know that Longford are a good side, and they beat us last time out, and we're remembering that, and we know how they play, and we're doing our homework, and we're really looking forward to the game.
Yeah, it's interesting that the mentality has to flip to that one leg, win or bust type attitude, because in the league games, clearly, you know, if you're losing the game, as you guys were, or winning the game, you can get back to get a point, or you can get back to get a late winner. Whereas in this, it's effectively win or bust. It's win and you're through. It's lose and your season's finished, which is a very, very different mentality you probably have to have.
Yeah, I think we have to be a bit more ruthless, even at the back. If chances are coming their way, we have to be quick to clear them. And then if chances come mine and Colum's way, we have to try to put them away. And like, we know how dangerous Longford are. They have the likes of Rob Manley up front. He's got, what, 9 goals this season. And he was top scorer last year. So we know that the threat that they pose, and they have a lot of experience as well. They played playoffs last year. They were in and around it the year before. So, yeah, we're really, really excited for the game. And, yeah.
Talk to me about Andy Moyler and the stamp that he's put on the team. You know, he came in the off-season. He's a very, very experienced League of Ireland person, both playing and coaching and managing. But before he took the job, he'd had a little break for a couple of years. And I know he did an interview recently on the 42 where he was talking about his reasons for wanting to jump back in and stuff. So you might just talk to me about him as the manager, what he's looking from you guys. And I think, looking from the outside, his first season as a manager at UCD has gone quite well.
Yeah, Andy's really good with us. We actually had him for a season with our college team. So he kind of like looked on, and we kind of knew who he was already. And we knew like his attacking philosophy and stuff like that. And this year, he's really given us a lot of freedom to play. And with the style of play that we play, we're not really afraid to make mistakes, and we know that we have to work really hard for each other. And yeah, we're really happy with them, and we're enjoying the style of football that we're playing and the freedom that we're given on the pitch.
Yeah, that's something as well that's interesting, because clearly you don't want to make mistakes, because it's particularly for the next couple of weeks, if you continue through the playoffs, mistakes lead to possibly not winning games. But at the same time, if the manager is asking the team to play in a certain way, he has to have some sort of acceptance to, at times, mistakes happening, particularly playing a passing style. But at the same time, I'm sure he's anxious for the team to make as few mistakes in possession as possible. So how is that weighed up internally? Because the reason why you guys are so good is because you play that brand. But at times, like Long, for example, might come to try and press on Saturday because they know the type of passing football that you're going to play.
Yeah, well, at the same time, we're not really afraid to mix it either. If we have to go long, we'll go long. But I think that a lot of the standards that we set come from the players as well. It's really player-led on the pitch at the time, because at the end of the day, the manager can't come on and control us when we're on the pitch. So we have to decide on the day whether we think the right pass is in front of us. And if we don't, then we have to change it up. And we're not really trying to... I don't think anyone's really happy to be making mistakes, but if they happen, they happen. It's all about making up for them at the end of the day.
The season overall for you as a League of Ireland player, for all of the people involved in the league, players, coaches, officials, media, it's just been so different. And I feel very lucky to have been able to still be around games and be at games and be doing interviews like this and stuff about the games. How have you found it as a player in probably the most strange League of Ireland season that any of us are ever going to be involved in?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a lot more quiet on the pitch during games anyway, not what we're used to. But I think that kind of added pressure from the crowd, like, it kind of eliminates home advantage for a lot of teams. And we're able to hear the manager give out a lot more often anyway. But yeah, it has been a really weird season, and there was a few games where there was fans allowed. There was a bit of a limit, and you could really hear the difference in games like that, and you can feel it as well. So we're really looking forward to having fans back next year.
And in terms of all the stuff around this, you know, like, everybody's just very quickly flipped into that mode of temperature has to be checked, hand sanitizer, masks at different times, the way the subs have to sit apart. But the actual training and the games and all that, that hasn't changed at all, apart from, you know, the manager's been able to make a couple of extra substitutions. So the football side hasn't changed, but it's just the things around it, you've all had to adapt to quite quickly. How have you found all of that?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're still able to train and play matches is really good for us, because I don't know what I'd be doing if we weren't really playing football. So I'm really happy that that bit of normality stays the same. It's just the only difference is the lack of crowds. But thankfully, a lot of teams are streaming games, and even we're starting to stream games as well. So I think the people at home are really lucky to be. We're happy that they get to watch.
Yeah, we'd hopefully have news of a stream for the UCD Longford game later on today as well. Myself and Yoyo were chatting on Thursday morning. Yeah, Thursday morning, isn't it?
Yeah,
losing track of days here. Lastly, the podcast is called League of Ireland Lives, and I'm also interested just to hear about people's life away from football. Are you still in college? Are you finished college? And what's the plans? Like, what have you been studying? And what's the plans eventually when you finish in UCD as a student, and where your life away from football might take you?
Yeah, I'm currently final year in commerce, finishing up my degree. And yeah, I did 2 years of engineering as well, but I switched course. And that's probably why people feel like I've been at UCD forever. But I'm just trying to get through the final year now. There's a lot of study, a lot of exams, and yeah, the football's a bit of a break from all that.
Why did you make the swap from engineering to commerce?
I couldn't hack it at all.
Too hard?
Too hard.
So this is your, how many years now are you UCD?
It's my fifth year in the college, but it's my fourth season with the club. I did 1 year in 19. And it's my third season with the first team.
Wow. So, yeah, you're an experienced player now, and hopefully you'll continue to bang them in over the next couple of weeks. Yo, thanks for jumping on. Good luck in the game. I'll see you at the bowl on Saturday, and we'll chat to you soon.
No bother, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
So, from a man who'll be hoping to score a few goals at the UCD bowl on Saturday in Yo-Yo Maddie, to a man who'll be hoping to stop him, I'm delighted to welcome Longford Town goalkeeper Lee Stacey, who's sporting definitely the best beard and Barnet combination in the League of Ireland this season, I think. Hello, Leeser. How are you?
How are you, Jamie? Thanks for that. I'm not so sure. There's a few contenders out there. But thanks very much.
Yeah, you're looking tough, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, like, he's a bear. Does it make me look a bit angry? I don't know, but we'll see. That's what you're the first to say, so we'll see.
Well, certainly, if I was a striker playing against you, I'd be afraid of you.
Well, look, once we keep the ponytail out, I might have to put a bit more wax in the hair to keep it back. I think the ponytail might take away from that a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. Lee, thanks for coming on. We're all very excited about the games this weekend. Hopeful to confirm today a live stream for UCD against Longford on Saturday at 3 at the bowl. What a fascinating last weekend as well. You guys ended up losing 2-1 to Wexford. And looking at the other scores, had Cabinteely below you or Galway or Cove picked up points, you might have actually ended up outside those playoffs. So what's the feelings on how the weekend ended in the end, but also the outcome could have been a lot worse?
Yeah, there's the dog in slay.
There's the dog. That's fine. See, we're working from home, so the dog's fully allowed in the Skype. Get him on your lap there.
With the tennis ball as well. But oh, look, ultimately, Jamie, we were very disappointed with the result. But I don't think there's any point dwelling on it. Like, we're in the playoffs. We finished fourth because the league table doesn't lie. We deserve to finish there. Luckily, results went our way. So at the end of the day, you have to take that, you know. So, no, we'd be worried if we didn't create chances. I think Tom Morphy had an excellent game. He made some brilliant saves. So I think we wouldn't be too worried about it. And we're happy that we're in the playoffs. So we get another week to prepare for a huge game now on Saturday.
Yeah. How do you reflect on the season overall, Lee? I did a little preview piece before the games on Saturday, and I said in it that I thought Longford would be disappointed they weren't involved in the race for the title right to the end. But again, you're in the playoffs and there's still all to play for. So how would you reflect on this season overall? Of course, one series of games, lost to COVID as well, so an 18 game season.
Yeah, I think I read your article there, and I have to be honest, like, a great disappointment is exactly what we were feeling, that we weren't challenging, looking at Drogheda and Bray, like, two good sides. But Longford, we should be challenging, and that was our aim. We were aiming for a title. So came a good bit short, and it's only really three games if you look at it, 10.4 games. But after the first two games, being Drogheda up there, you think it's lovely. We set down a marker here, but we lack consistency all year. And, you know, I think if there's a time to go on a run, this is it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a big game on Saturday as well against another really good team. And the fact that the playoffs were kept is something I think is a definite reason why the First Division has been so good and why it's gone to the last day and why two teams could have won the league and five teams were fighting for those other three playoff spots. I'll ask the same question to Yo-Yo, just given how different this season has been for everybody involved. How have you found it on and off the pitch with all of the extra protocols and the no fans? And I suppose, thankfully, that we have got to this stage where the seasons at both leagues are nearly complete, and even though there has been lots of games called off for different reasons, we're just about ready to finish off.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky that we get to play, you know, after the first lockdown and not being able to kick a ball for months was torture, that's being honest. So for our league players to be able to continue, it is a blessing. So we're very, very happy that we can still get to play, but without fans, it's just not the same. And hopefully for the 2021 season, there'll be fans back in full capacity in the grounds, because they make it, really, you know. It's a couple of games that went by. You think if you had the fans there, things might change, you know. You get spurred on, just little tackles, they may influence the ref, anything can happen, you know. So I think for more reasons than one, fans are usually missed.
This is going to sound like a strange question, but the fact that you're a goalkeeper and goalkeepers would be known for their communication and, you know, their view of the pitch, that they can see it all. And you spoke there about maybe trying to influence the ref at different times and whatever. I've actually found it very interesting at the games as a journalist, being able to hear every word of both the players, the managers, even the officials and the linesmen talking in their microphones to the referees and stuff. So is that the one positive that can be taken, that whatever you shout to your teammates or to your manager or a conversation you have with the referee, that it can be crystal clear and there's no confusion in that information?
Yeah, well, sometimes I've been criticised for saying, from management or whatever, of saying we can't hear you talking or whatever, but a lot of the time I'm not shouting, I'm actually just speaking to the defenders around me and I'm getting them to organise. So I haven't heard that comment in a while, since people are actually able to hear exactly what you said. You can hear everything. So no, it's look, it makes no odds. It's I haven't changed the way I speak anyway, but yeah, you can definitely, the information is relayed, like, it probably is a little bit easier. I think when there's so much noise in the background, you kind of blank a lot out. So with less noise in the background, you maybe concentrate a little bit more, maybe you take the information a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's a real shame though, particularly, like, I love the playoffs. I love the First Division, but I love the playoffs so much, and I've been at so many of the playoff games in recent years, from even back in, you know, 2015, 16, those Limerick Finn Harps games and packed stadiums, you know, same last year in First Division, previous year as well, whether it be any of the teams involved, you know, it's just a brilliant thing to be involved in, I'm sure for you guys too. So it's just going to be so different on Saturday in what is the biggest game of the season for both yourselves and UCD, where there's going to be, bar a sprinkling of officials and media, nobody else there.
Yeah, of course. Well, the last two seasons I've played in packed stadiums in playoffs, so I've been involved in squads. And yeah, it's such a great night. Like, it's such a huge game. Obviously, you have two legs normally, and this year it's only one, so that's a little bit different as well. But I think there'll still be an atmosphere. I think there'll be a couple of fans hiding around the ground trying to get a view. But obviously, I've seen the stream UCD had a couple of weeks ago. I think you were promoting it. It looked really good. So we're lucky that the League of Ireland has that now, and I think long may it continue. So, yeah, in terms of the game, it will still be huge pressure on the game, but at the end of the day, it is only a game of football, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've actually missed call here about the final negotiations to confirm this stream for Saturday, so we'll hopefully have news. We will have news later on today about that, and looking forward to it with the guys from Doppler Media as well. You spoke about the playoff being one leg this year. That's very different. It's win or bust, really. It is win or bust. Does that change approach? Does that change in-game, given that you don't have the second leg in what was City Calling Stadium, now Bishopsgate, at home. And, you know, it would normally be, say, for example, Saturday, Tuesday or whatever, and you don't have that opportunity now. It's just one leg and happens to be away from home.
Yeah, well, I suppose, like, it is different, obviously. So it's, you can't kind of just get through one leg. I don't know what way you would approach it. Would you just try and get through if we had two games? But it's going to be gung-ho, Jamie. You know, just two teams here who are very good with attack and play. So especially UCD, they've scored a lot of goals. And I think it's going to be a very, very intense game. And with there only being one game, it's going to be crazy, to put it that way.
Yeah, you spoke about UCD's attack and threat. They're the top scorers in the league. And I spoke to Yo-Yo Matty a couple of minutes ago, between himself and Colm Whelan. Between the 29 goals this season, 15 for Yo-Yo and 14 for Colm. So as a goalkeeper, I'm sure you'll be very focused on making sure that you guys try and keep them quiet, because they're two very, very dangerous attackers, not to mention Liam Kerrigan and others in the team as well.
I know they are. They're an excellent side. Look, I've played against UCD in the league and in college football, and I've been on the end of a couple of defeats in college, and it's just, you can see how good they are, you know. But in the league, thankfully, we've limited them really this year, especially when you look at Yo-Yo on the farm, he's in, and obviously Colm Whelan scored a lot of goals too. So personally, I think the defending starts from the front, and how we set up to play, I think we play with intensity. Play up the pitch, it obviously makes the defenders' jobs easier and harder to get the ball to Yo-Yo and Colm Whelan, who are the danger men.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm sure something that you're aware of, but you've also played UCD twice this season, a draw and a win for you guys too. And do you take much from those games? Do you look back on them? Will they form part of the preparation, you know, given it's been such a short season as well, and you've played them quite recently, certainly in the second round of fixtures?
Yeah, well, we look at both of the games, and we look at what we did well and how we started games or how we finished or whatever happened in them, and we'll try and replicate what worked well, basically. But I don't think we can take too much from it, because ourselves, we haven't been consistent enough. So that day we could have been good. So really, it's this is a new game. It doesn't matter what's gone on before, because playoffs is a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, it's certainly something that everyone, I'm sure, is very excited about. You're an experienced player at the club, Lee. You've worn the captain's armband at different times this year as well. You're not full-time permanent captain, are you? Or am I doing you a disservice?
No, Dan's armband is captain. Yeah, I'm only, yeah. I'd be vice captain, fill in.
So. Yeah, okay. So Saturday morning, games, we think at 3 o'clock. How will you be feeling? And what's your game day routine?
I can't wait, Jamie. That's the truth. I really can't. Like, playoffs is, it's an unbelievable game to play in. Like, it's just, there's a lot at stake, you know, for the club, for fans, for players, for everything. So I'm just looking forward to it. I really am. Match day routine, it's obviously going to be different than what it would normally be, but I'd recommend. Well, I don't want to give any tricks or secrets away, but just wake up at normal time and make sure you eat in the same time frame you would before your game. That's one thing I found difficult for ages, getting the right time to eat, but I think I have it down now. So I'll be just integrating that at a different time. And then, yeah, I'll probably just go on a walk or whatever, and you don't want to think about the game too much. Obviously, preparing right for it now, but I think if you overthink things, it can go against you as well. So just take it easy and look forward to the game.
Well, that dog there and the tennis ball will certainly keep you busy on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's a dog. There's two of them, and we just bring the rugby ball out for them, and the two of them can't eat it, so they're chasing after for ages. It's great that. Boy, I end up running after them, so I won't be able to do that.
What's their names?
They're the girlfriend's dogs, so Scamp and Bonnie.
Scamp and Bonnie, very nice.
Well,
the dogs never know what's going on in your life. If you've won a football match, lost a football match, lost your job, broken up with your missus, whatever, they don't know. And that's why I love them. And I'm sure on Saturday morning, they'll be giving you just a little, come on, throw me ball, and maybe help you relax a little bit, because every footballer has a different way to relax pre-match. Some have a nap, some walk their dog, some obviously have kids, others might watch Netflix, listen to music, read a book. Whatever gets you to where you need to be in kind of pre-match mode, I'm sure helps.
Yeah, well, look, I think walking with the dogs is actually it's a great form of exercise. Like, it's not too strenuous, and it is, I just think, out in the open air, especially with the views around here in Clonskea is where the missus lives, is it's nice and scenic. I just think it's very therapeutic, and it's definitely, it won't do me any harm if we get out on a game day to get out on a walk. Main thing is, it's on a Saturday, there's no work to worry about, you can chill out, so I'm looking forward to that, you know.
So any UCD fans or players now know that Lee Stacey is behind enemy lines in Clonskea leading up to the match with the Dogs. So if you see him out in the local park now, you might get a bit of abuse to wind you up before the game.
This is it. I'm literally, you wouldn't believe how close it is to the ball. So I'll be down a bit of Marco Bielsa. I might be down a bit of spine now before the weekend as well.
Very good. Lee, lastly, you mentioned work there and the podcast is called League of Ireland Live. So you've been on with me a little bit over the last couple of years across your career as a footballer and also work and college. And I know you were doing a taxi for a while, but that's difficult in the current environment and you're still studying. So what is your League of Ireland life at the moment away from being a Longford Town footballer?
Yeah, Jamie, unfortunately, you had to park the taxi aside. It's just the current climate. It's just there's no business in it. It's really good business industry to be in when we're in normal circumstances because you could be your own boss. But luckily enough for you, I got a job in On Post. So I'm on a split shift at the moment, so I'm able to do my studies as well. I am very busy though, I will say that. Like it's a big workload between football, work and college. But thankfully a lot of it is online. And then the workload itself isn't too heavy, so I'm very happy that I'm able to do everything I can, you know. There's only a year and a half left in college, so I'll take the busy year and a half while I can, you know.
God, I'll be talking to John Ross Wilson from Bray later on to preview the second semi-final. And he's also a postman. So two out of four. Half my guests this week are postmen.
Well, I don't know about John Ross being a postman because I actually collect from the post boxes beside his house. And every time I drive by, there's a postman in the garden. I've never seen him do a bit of work. So I don't know what he could be doing. Okay, I send him pictures every day. I says, will you move that van? He won't move it. I don't know what he's doing.
He goes on foot or on a bike or something probably.
He has a van, but I tell you what, he doesn't use it.
Hopefully the boss isn't listening here now.
Hopefully I get him in trouble. He's missing the weekend because he's a great player.
Well, I tell you what, hopefully it's a Bray against Longford final and we can put you both on the podcast to have a verbal row about who's the better postman.
Post off.
Lee Stacey, thanks a million for coming on. You're nice and relaxed and ready to go, I'm sure. So good luck on Saturday. I'll see you at the bowl and I'll chat to you then.
Perfect, Jamie. Thanks a million. See you then.
Ah, yeah, love a bit of postman banter. That is Lee Stacey, and before him, Yo-Yo Maddie, speaking to myself, Jamie Moore, on the League of Ireland Lives podcast. That was our First Division playoff semi-final preview special. A reminder, the fixtures again on Saturday, both at 3 o'clock, in the bowl, UCD against Longford Town, while up the road in the Carlisle grounds, it's Bray Wanderers against Galway United. Congrats again to Drogs, league champions. Well done to Tim Clancy, Kevin Doherty, and their team. They're in the Premier for next season, and the path to try and join them continues on Saturday. Thanks a million for watching, folks, on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you know anyone who might be interested in watching or listening to the podcast, feel free to let them know. Share the pod, send them the link, put it on your social media if you can. You can follow me as well on Twitter at Jamie Moore Sport, also on Instagram at Jamie_Moore1. Have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy the games, and we'll speak to you next week for our First Division playoff final preview special. Bye bye.